Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Movie Mastery in Theaters Now. I am John. Over there is Jeff. We are your hosts, and we are talking about the movie that you voted that we go see this month in theaters.
Weird vote.
Oh, it's an amazing vote that it won. It won.
It did. It did win.
It won.
It won.
Yeah, it was it. It's it.
What's
what
it?
Is it?
Well, let us tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Over the next about an hour or so.
Yeah. So instead of something ridiculous like the Lego Ninjago movie winning this month, you guys actually wanted us to go see a for reals movie. It was amazing.
Yeah. With like a budget and stuff. Although I bet you the budget might be comparable to the Lego Ninjago movie.
That Ninjago's got deep pockets.
I am amazed we didn't have to go see that. I was all set because it has like Kumail Nanjiani in it. I was going to be okay. But here we are.
Oh, yeah. We got to go see a horror movie, which, let me just fill you in, is near and dear to my heart. The original Tim Curry It, the like 1992 or something.
Mm-hmm.
That is some straight up classic nonsense. It is probably one of the first horror things I saw, and it was one of those make or break movies for me.
Uh-huh.
Where it fucked me up, and that meant I was either never going to go ahead and see any horror again, or I was going to get obsessed with it.
And what did you choose?
Oh, I got obsessed. I got real obsessed. I think I saw that when I was like 7 years old, and then I read the book when I was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those things where I was super into this, and they'd been working on this remake for like 5 years. They had originally had, what's his name, Cary Fukunaga?
Yeah, that's the weird thing about this, is that there's like four directors attached to this movie over time. You would think it would suck more, given the amount that they had to settle on reshoots and new directors.
Oh, yeah. Well, apparently, the Fukunaga version was slightly more graphic.
Okay.
And so his whole, like...
Wait, graphic how, though? Are we talking, like, gore, or are we talking, like, closer to the stupid, sex-filled, gross Stephen King novel on which this is based? Yeah, that's right. I said it. It is a stupid book.
Yeah, you're dumb. There's the one stupid scene.
There's more than one.
Well, I mean...
I can think of three based on nothing but what you told me about the book yesterday.
Yeah, there is the infamous, like, ridiculous running a train scene.
Yeah, there's everyone take a turn having sex with Bev because it'll show us the way out of the dungeon.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that would never work in Zork.
You don't know. You never tried.
Run a train on Bev. There is not this idea. Do you want to go west?
Nah, man. You never tried. You never typed run a train on Bev into Zork.
To the north is a 13-year-old girl. Have gross sex with her. All right, you know the way out of the dungeon. A turtle nose.
A turtle nose. Aw, a little turtle nose. How cute. But yeah, the whole thing with the original version was that, like, the creative differences is I wanted to show a lot more gore.
Mm-hmm.
And because they didn't want that, he's like, oh, you just want a sanitized version for the masses. Mer.
What did Cary Fukunaga do? Why was his name important?
I can't remember what he was attached to before this.
Okay, sure. Why not?
Because all I can remember is Muschietti, who's the one who directs this one, did Mama.
Mm.
Who was, it was a horror film that came out a few years ago. And was,
oh my gosh, did Mama kill a man?
No.
Did she put a gun against his head and pull the trigger?
No, she was a weird ghost.
Oh, well, I guess then now she's dead.
Yep.
All right.
I'm sorry
for dragging that song into our home, John. That,
how dare you?
That completely overused song at this point.
Yes.
I hate when that song becomes this nerd cultural touchstone. People are like, you don't understand, guys. I went into the store and started singing Bohemian Rhapsody and everyone joined in. It's like, yeah, duh. It's like the fucking national anthem at this point.
Well, way more people know Bohemian Rhapsody than they know the national anthem.
Yeah, it's way more popular in other countries, too. So
yeah.
What are you going to do?
I mean, why aren't we just playing that when we win a medal at the Olympics?
Well, probably because Freddie Mercury was from, like, Zanzibar.
Anyway, this movie, you never read the book. Did you watch the original Tim Curry
one? I have watched the Tim Curry version of It, yes.
Okay.
I have not read the Stephen King book It, although I've read several synopses of it and had you tell me about it, and it sounds like something I don't want to read.
No, I mean, the problem is everyone's going to focus on the stupidest aspects of it.
You should. Everything should be judged by its worst part.
For example, that means I'm going to get judged real harsh.
Don't worry, you are. I'm just saying that if you flip through a book and there's like, how do you get out of this dungeon? You sex up a 13-year-old. What happens to gay people? They get beat to death. Okay, well, all right, I don't want to read this.
Well, it's not that like, oh boy, let's kill gay people. This is a fucked up thing. It's saying that killing gay people is fucked up.
Oh, fair enough then.
Yeah. Anyway, so just be prepared during our spoilery review that I'm going to get real heavy into both the book and the Tim Curry version for comparisons as well.
And I'm going to get tipsy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get a Mike's. I want a headache later.
But the spoiler-free review for this, for me, super amazing. The kids do a great job. They are really good in this film. And the effects are super interesting. They went a very different way. Mm-hmm. For those that get pissed off at CGI, there is definitely way more CGI in this than, say, the TV movie version. But yeah, for me, absolutely a recommend. Go see it in theaters. I've seen it twice.
I don't usually like horror movies. I don't particularly care for Stephen King, and this movie was full of generic Hollywood cliches. That said, they did a great job on all of them. I would also recommend this movie.
Awesome. So we'll be back after the music and give you the full spoiler review of Stephen King's It. We are back. It's time to dig deep.
Oh, for a second there, I thought you were going to say it's time for Donkey Talk.
No, it is never time for Donkey Talk. Not on this show.
Not on my show.
This is my show, and we will have none of that shenanigans, sir.
Oh, can't we have some kind of gimmick?
The gimmick is well thought out, even-headed reviews.
You should have told me that like 50 episodes ago then.
So, it's time to dig into the It.
Shallow and pedantic.
this shallow, pedantic It.
It's no Ibsen.
It isn't. Good. I'm glad.
I'm trying to be even-headed and level and do like a New Yorker-style review.
Oh, I don't want a New Yorker-style review. Then everyone's going to be like, Christ, what an asshole.
Per the illustrious George Will.
Per the illustrious George Went.
This movie truly is a representation of hegemony qua hegemony.
As a post-industrial colonizing movie, we can definitely see the influence of Wallace's writing here.
It's virtually Reichian. Ultimately, a Brechtian chamber drama worthy of Almodovar.
Good. We're done. We're done with that. There's your shitty review.
Someone go ahead and parse any of what we just said. Because it was just buzzwords.
Welcome to Buzzword Talk. That's our gimmick.
There it is, Buzzword Talk. Gonna ride that buzzword. On down to the honky tuzzword.
Oh, honky tuzzword.
Oh,
Jake,
man.
New character.
New character, honky tuzzword.
That's going in.
All right. So you lead this one, John. You're the one who had like a big old boner for this movie. You got like two boners.
I've got double boner for this movie.
Yeah.
And
two boners way up, raves John of Rolling Stone.
I've got
comments section.
Multiple boners. I've got so many lady boners. So this movie is much like basically anything. It's going to start with the Georgie scene, which...
Yeah, most movies start with the Georgie
just
scene.
Just like every movie.
Yeah, you Jurassic start Park, with that famous Georgie scene.
Well, it did. I mean, you had that thing that was in...
The box.
A box that ripped a dude apart.
Yeah, and first it offered him a boat.
Yeah, it was like...
holds up a little boat. Yeah. He's like, oh, my boat.
Oh, dude, I've been missing this boat.
Well, come on in my box and get the boat.
Said a velociraptor painted like a clown.
Oh, man. And then, of course, the Georgie scene occurs entirely in quietly behind the yellow crawl in Star Wars movies.
Yeah, you can always see. If you look the distance, you'll see it.
Most people are too busy reading the text going by. But if you look in the background, you can see a child violently pulled into a sewer by a clown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's well known. It's documented.
It's like the Wilhelm scream at this point.
It's just in so many movies.
If you spot it, you're like, oh, there's the Georgie scene.
All right. I'm sorry. Let's move.
So the book, of course, starts out, and the movie starts out, and the TV movie starts out.
Smash cut to the movie starting.
Yeah. with Georgie and Bill Denbrough. Bill is going to be our sort of de facto leader of the ensemble cast.
He's got the hero haircut in the movie. You can tell.
Yeah, but even the hero is a stuttering nerd.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a member of the titular Losers Club.
Yes.
Oh, wait. I guess that's not really titular, is it?
No.
It's like the book's called Losers Club.
The Losers Club.
It might as well have been. It wouldn't change the content of the book.
No. And people would be able to talk about it without people being like, wait, were you saying talking about it like Capital, or were you talking about it generally?
I was talking about it, the Losers Club. You know the movie?
Yeah. But you can tell he's a huge nerd from the stuff that is on his walls.
You can also tell that they've advanced this movie according to, like, the book and the TV series are both set in the 50s.
Yeah.
This has been advanced to the late 80s.
Yep. So he's got Gremlins and Beetlejuice on his wall, as well as two different advanced Dungeons and Dragons posters.
Yes. Yeah. Posters, no less.
Oh, yeah.
We never see the books in the movie.
No, but we never really get a shot of his bookshelf. You never know. He could have been a huge D&D nerd.
I feel like, and I'm going to say this a couple times, I'm guessing, that a lot of this movie's post-production work was adding shit to the movie based on the success of Stranger Things. Like, it was probably already done with principal photography, and then they had to run in there and be like, put Dungeons and Dragons in there. People won't stop talking about this fucking Netflix thing.
No, I mean...
Get one of the kids from it and add him in post.
It is amazing to me that there's that much stuff with it before Stranger Things even came out, that they had all of this shit.
Yeah. Well, they're all touchstone points of nerds in the late 80s.
Like, oh, yeah.
How else are you going to do it?
They're like, oh, man, it's late 80s. How do we tell everyone that this kid is a nerd? D&D.
Yeah, you give him some D&D. I'm surprised they didn't give him one of those novelty oversized D12s you see from time to time when they try to do this stuff.
Nah, that'd be later. No one's doing an oversized D12.
Nerds are. No, movie nerds are. It's a shorthand thing when they're like, you got to be playing Dungeons and Dragons. Here's an action figure you're going to call your miniature and a giant die that you can see on a camera. Also, here's a bunch of graph paper.
A lot of it. Just
now,
so much.
Start playing D&D, by which I mean start saying things that would be crazy to any D&D player.
Yeah. Well, it's the same in any movie. As soon as someone like plays a video game in a movie, they're just sitting there mashing buttons as hard as they can and swinging the controller.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the soundtrack is playing a bunch of beeps and boops as if they were playing like an Atari game.
Yeah. And then it like does a shot of the actual TV, and it's just someone like calmly walking and then shooting a gun.
Usually it's Doom. Like, they show Doom and all the sound effects are like beep 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 brant, burp, 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 burp. You're like, what the fuck is this? How heavily did you mod this shit?
It's real heavily. I modded it so that every single picture is of Sheldon, and that any time a noise happens, it just says Bazinga.
Ugh. Man, you're making me really happy. I'm no longer in the days of heavily modded first-person shooters for me, where you had to play in the entire arena is made out of Barneys, and you have to kill all these Beavises and Buttheads and everything.
Good memories.
Yeah, and every time you fire a gun, it's Cartman saying something.
Yeah. So, anyway, Georgie wants to get a boat because it's raining, and Bill's making a paper boat for him, and he's got to wax it up so it doesn't sink or nothing.
Yeah, he gets the Gulf Wax. He does real good with that Gulf Wax.
Yeah, he's got to wax it up so that it'll float.
Yeah. Wait, when you say it, do you mean the movie? Or
I mean the boat.
Okay, thank you.
I mean so the movie will float.
I just wanted to clarify.
What
like
I mean by
it's important.
It is hope. So yeah. Hope will float. Hope floats.
Oh, man. There Will Be Hope or whatever is also a really good Crystal Method song. Anyway, he has to go down into the basement to get the Gulf Wax. I think that's where you were trying to go before I rudely interrupted.
No, I don't care.
Because that's the first scare of the movie, is there's like some orbs in the basement that look like eyes.
Yeah. It's Georgie's scared of the basement, and he goes down there, freaks himself out. There's nothing in there. But he gets the wax. He gets his boat, and he's going to go sail that. And he just puts it on the street, follows it around, and boy howdy, it gets away from it and goes into a sewer, and there's Pennywise. And we get Skarsgård's Pennywise.
Yeah, Bill Skarsgård's Pennywise.
And very different from the Tim Curry one, as he's playing him way more sinister.
Yeah, he's definitely doing a lot more of a menacing. Tim Curry couldn't help but be campy in any given situation.
Oh, yeah. The Tim Curry Pennywise was just like, ha-ha, I'm having fun with this.
Yeah. Like, Tim Curry is basically just Dr. Frank in clown makeup. Just, I'm going to eat you, I guess, Reggie.
Reggie.
There's some kind of Reggie. I don't know. Come on, the book's 1,100 pages long. You're telling me there's not a Reggie?
No, there is no Reggie. There's no Reggie, no Reginald, no Reg. Not even a register.
What about a Roger? What about a Regina?
Beep, beep, Regina.
Yeah, let's get a gender-swapped it happening.
Good Lord. So in the book and the TV series, it doesn't go into a lot of detail on what happens to him, but in this one, he straight just, like, bites Georgie's arm off.
Yeah, he bites Georgie's arm clean off, and then Georgie tries to crawl away, leaving a big blood trail behind, and then he just gets yanked into the sewer by Pennywise's Dulcine arm.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, he has like an 8-foot-long arm he snakes out and grabs Georgie and just drags him in there.
Yeah, and during this, while he's looking into the drain and sort of having his conversation with Pennywise, we see a neighbor who's like out and putting up her blinds.
Yeah, she has
while
some,
the storm
like,
is going.
Some like storm blinds that she's hanging up.
And it's indicative of the whole thing with Derry, the town where this takes place, that the grown-ups just sort of ignore anything that's going on. Like, any wrongdoing or anything that's going on with kids, really, they just completely ignore, as she sees a kid just face first in a drain and doesn't say, like, hey, kid, what's going on? She's just like, oh, okay. And then turns around and does some stuff, and then when she looks back, there's like a pile of blood, and she still is just kind of like, huh.
No, she calls someone. She like freaks out and runs out there. That was the one time in the movie where I was like, oh, an adult that's concerned.
Oh, she doesn't, though. She straight is just like, huh. And then it goes to like a close-up of the cat, and then it is later that year.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. Yeah, it is sort of weird in this movie that adults just straight up are completely unable to see things. I guess that's because it's in the book.
Yep. Pennywise is like a murder entity that preys on children, but it relies on belief. And when you're a grown-up, apparently, you just don't believe in monsters, so you can't see anything that it does.
Okay.
But you can still see the aftermath. So, you know, you can still see that pile of blood from Georgie, because it's Georgie's blood. I believe in little kid blood. I believe in little kid blood. Just listen to the rhythm of my heart.
Oh, boy. That is gross.
That's super gross.
So, yeah, Georgie gets eaten, as he always does, and it's rather graphic. You have to watch him crawling away with one arm screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job with making him terrified.
So then we get introduced to the sort of core losers group. We get Richie Tozier, big glasses, kid from Stranger Things that you would recognize.
Yeah, his name is Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah.
Which, let's face it, that's the coolest name ever, and he should be a D&D character.
Yeah, that guy is rad as fuck, and it's great.
Yeah, yeah. He should be hanging out with Honky Tuzzword, solving mysteries in a dungeon.
And Richie Tozier is the motor mouth that is constantly being jokey and an asshole.
Yeah, and his jokes are almost always about one guy's mom. It's
almost.
Pretty much just always like, just like your mom's vagina.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're like an 11 or 12-year-old kid, that's basically your repertoire.
Which is weird, because my repertoire is your mom's vagina.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. I can play that thing like a Stradivarius.
We also get Stan Uris, the Jew.
That's a little reductive.
That is basically his role in this.
He is definitely the worst character in this, unfortunately for the actor playing him. He just plays him as a total coward that doesn't want to be involved.
Like, yes. I mean, Stan pretty much was a character who was like the last one to believe in anything, and he definitely wants to be as logical as possible.
Yeah.
But his whole role in this is just, you're the Jewish kid.
Yeah, it's true. Like, they give him, they create a scare for him that involves him being in synagogue.
Oh, yeah. And which the original thing in for his, it was a painting.
Yeah.
In this movie, the original script, the Fukunaga one, was like a naked lady that was pleasuring herself in the ritual bath that you would normally go in.
That's a little much, Carrie.
Yeah, that is part of the reason they were like, nah, brah.
Isn't it basically a werewolf in the book?
Like, werewolf is for Richie, the mummy is for Stan.
There you go, he gets a mummy. But for some reason, it's got to be a naked, masturbating lady.
Yeah.
Good call, Carrie. Because if there's one thing that it wasn't already famous for, it's gross sex things.
Yeah. So, we well, also...
Masturbating naked ladies aren't gross.
She was rotting.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry, I'll cover you on that one.
Thank you. Thank you for covering my bet. But now it's like a Munches the Scream, except it's a lady playing the flute.
Yeah.
Like, it literally looks like Edvard Munches the Scream. Like, her face is all contorted and sideways.
Yeah, you get one of those weird paintings where it's like small eyes and a long face that's kind of bendy.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a Munch painting, and she's playing a flute, and then she drops a real flute, and all of a sudden she's a real live lady with a gross sideways face and shark teeth. Everyone's got shark teeth in this.
Well, of course they do.
It's all shark teeth all the way down.
And we also get Eddie Kasbrak, our hypochondriac with a mother that's basically Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah. Boy, you're sticking with that New Yorker thing, aren't you? All the way down. Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah, that's right. It's a term.
You're a term.
And so that's your core loser club.
Yeah, that's the basics of them. They did a really good job casting Eddie, by the way. Eddie's one of those teenagers that you find that's like somehow perpetually 5 years old in terms of size.
Oh, yeah. He's super tiny. He looks frail, and he's constantly like, guys, I don't want to go in there. I might get a cut or some poison ivy, or there might be gross bacteria.
He looks like a kid version of Steve Rogers before the serum.
Yes.
So, the great casting on him. Honestly, great casting all around with these kids.
Oh, yeah. The kids are all amazing. We actually got Mike Hanlon, the one black kid in all of Derry.
Mm-hmm.
And he works on a farm, and his whole thing is he, like, doesn't want to kill a sheep.
No, he doesn't want to use the bolt gun to kill a sheep.
Yeah.
Which, and then, like, an old man who's, like, his uncle or something is like, you got to do this, because either you're the guy killing the sheep, or you're the sheep.
Yep.
And I was like, ah, I don't know if that's true. I feel like I've gone a pretty long time in my life without killing a sheep or being killed for being a sheep.
What if I'm the guy that shears sheep?
Yeah. What if I'm a sheep who doesn't get killed?
What if I'm a free-range sheep?
What if I'm a sheep that kills guys?
What if I'm in the New Zealand movie Black Sheep and I'm sort of a zombie?
All right, this might blow your mind. What if the sheep is you?
What if I'm you and you're the sheep?
What if the sheep has clown makeup on and hangs out in sewers?
What then, huh, Grandpa?
Bad, bad, Georgie. Wait, Georgie? Hang on. No, it's Richie.
God, you're so bad at
I'm
this.
So bad at this.
But then we also get Beverly Marsh, who is, for some reason, they
age her up very slightly compared to the rest of them.
Well, they're all supposed to be like 13, but she's the only one who looks like 13. Everyone else kind of looks like 11.
That's true. Yeah, they're all supposed to be playing 13. She is very clearly playing a 18-year-old 13.
But Beverly, for some reason, has a slut thing that the kids think she is.
Oh, was that not in the original It book?
Well, normally they hate her because she's poor. Like, her dad is the actual janitor of the school.
Okay.
So they tease her for being a poor kid. She's got hand-me-down clothes. Like, that was the big thing for her, is everyone has a reason for being an outsider.
Oh, they completely drop that. They switch it with everyone in school thinks that she slept with the bullies.
Oh, yeah. They slut shame her a lot and just have rumors of her having sex with people.
Yeah. So that's become her whole character. I could have sworn that was what the book was. I thought that the movie had changed, or the TV movie had changed that away, and that this movie had brought it back. Because it seems like a very Stephen King-y thing.
No. The whole thing was just that she was poor.
Yeah.
And then she meets the last member, Ben Hanscom.
Yeah.
The fat kid.
The fat one. Little fatty Dumpington.
He's the fat kid, and he's the new kid.
He looks like a little meatloaf.
Yep, he's not like a literal meatloaf, but like the singer meatloaf. That's
what I was trying to say, yes. Yeah. He looks like the
little...
He looks like he would do anything for love except for that one thing.
Yeah, and that one thing is stop eating meatloaf.
And that was the condition of the marriage.
So there's a great gag when Beverly meets him that he's listening to music, and he's the new kid, and he's listening to New Kids on the Block, which is a great time frame set.
Yeah, they keep doing this whole, it's 1989, the year this is.
Oh, yeah. You see at the movie theater that it's playing Batman 89.
Yeah, and also
Nightmare on Elm Street 5.
Yeah, when they go to the arcade, they're playing Street Fighter 1.
Yes.
Or I guess it would just be called Street Fighter at the time.
Indeed.
Yeah, the one that's a one-player game where you move from right to left. Yeah, and you play as either Ryu or Ken. No one's ever played it. It's a weird, like, everyone's Street Fighter memory starts with Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, the original Street Fighter was real bad, and I'm glad that they made Street Fighter 2.
That is true. And now the rest of this review is going to be about Street Fighter 2, so...
So buckle up, kids.
So if you don't care about Street Fighter 2, then be ready to enjoy, because I'm going to make you care.
I'll teach your grandmother to suck eggs.
Let's start from the top left. John, let's talk about Chun-Li.
All right, so Chun-Li is dragged into the sewer.
Beep, beep, Chun-Li. Hey, that was close.
That was almost it. So right now, not everyone in the losers group is together.
No, it's just the four.
You got the four, and then sort of we have the other three disparately spread out.
Yes, and each one of them gets a scary story about how their life is bad.
Yeah, we get everyone but Richie gets their own personal scare. So you get, as we mentioned, Stan gets the weird painting lady.
Yeah, his painting lady comes to life. Let's see.
We get Mike Hanlon is... He's delivering some lamb meat from the farm that he's working on to a butcher, and he gets both a door with, like, burning people's hands coming out, and then also it opens and he kind of sees the clown through that, you know, that plastic butcher stuff that they use?
Yeah. And then he almost gets run over by the town bully, who, again, is too much of a bully. Like, he's too bully.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we should get into it. They definitely play down the other bullies in this, but Henry Bowers is the main non-supernatural antagonist, and he is straight psychotic.
He's just a frothing psychotic in this movie. It's weird that he has friends at all, like even other bullies, because he spends most of his time just standing in a corner being like, kill. It's just like, why would other people even hang around near this guy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at least in the other versions of it, like in the 50s, he's kind of that greaser nonsense thing.
And you can do an 80s bully. An 80s bully has to at least be able to compose themselves around adults so they can maintain the lie.
Oh, yeah.
But in this movie, he can't. He's just, he's a little psycho. He's like a little Ed Gein.
Yeah, he's I mean, straight up, like, I'm going to carve my name into people with this knife.
Yeah.
I'm looking to, like, just beat people up in the middle of, like, oh, everyone can see this. I'm just going to punch this guy in the face.
There's a point where he straight up attempts to run over the black, Mike Hanlon.
Yeah.
Like, tries to just run him over, like, in town, like, in front of adults.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, you can't be this much of a psycho. There's a line. There's a line where you're a believable psycho, and you can be like, I'm an adorable little psycho, and I'm around parents, and parents put up with me. But this is like, no, this kid has been taken out of town quietly already.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole background with him is he was abused by his dad, and is all fucked up about that, and his dad's a cop, so it's not like he can go to anyone with it.
Yeah, because the town has one cop.
Oh, yeah. There's like two of them in the whole movie. Then again,
go
there's
to
like
the other one. This guy's too crazy.
There's like five adults in this whole movie.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's true.
But yeah, they did make Bowers, honestly, no matter what, Bowers is just straight crazy.
He is too crazy for even that bare edge of like 80s psycho movie believability. It just doesn't make sense. Like, he's just near the school being like frothing at the mouth and threatening to stab kids. And you're like, no, this kid doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. He's one of the few elements in the film that doesn't work for me especially well, is all I'm trying to go at here.
Yeah. So yeah, we got that for the Hanlon's. Mike's scare was the butcher shop.
Yeah. What's the fat kid?
Ben Hanscom
is scared in a library.
Yeah, he's reading up on the history of dairy, and one of the main dairy things, every 27 years, there's a huge thing that happens. Like, kids and adults kind of go missing a lot, but every 27 years, there's a huge event that kills a bunch all at once.
Yeah.
And so he's reading about, there was a Easter egg hunt at a ironworks that the ironworks then exploded and killed like 102 people.
Yeah, and then there's this great scene. This is my favorite scene in the whole movie, where he's looking through a book of pictures of the disaster, and all of a sudden the book is just the same picture over and over and over again every time he turns the page, but it's getting zooming in. It's like getting closer and closer, and it zooms in via these pictures to like a kid's head in the tree.
Yeah, which is actually a thing from the book. So I was like, oh, neat.
That was definitely the best, like, straight up kind of cold scare of the movie. Is that the book supernaturally was all one picture. There's no sudden boo or anything. It's just turn page, turn page, turn page. Oh my god, a horrifying clown. Or not clown, horrifying kid's head.
Yeah.
And then, because they have to really wrap this up, he gets attacked by a headless kid.
Yeah, so he gets attacked by that kid who's holding, like, eggs and then drops them all and, like, jerkily runs after him. I'm going to say this. They depend on that, like, kind of weird jerky run for Pennywise.
Pennywise, in particular, is mostly camera tricks when he's running. And the whole movie, every time he did anything scary, all I could think is, what does this look like to the kids? Because a lot of his moves were, like, run while a pan and zoom is happening. So, like, the background's getting out of focus while he comes further into focus. And it's like, that wouldn't translate all that well if you were looking at it with eyes instead of a functional video camera on a dolly track.
Well, he's basically doing
magic.
Almost the Samara run where he's like just jerkily moving really quick.
Yes. Yeah. So a lot of tricks in this movie are camera tricks that make me, I spent a lot of the movie going, what would that look like if I was there?
It would look terrifying.
It would look terrifying because a clown is moving out of phase of reality.
Oh yeah. You'd be like, oh, this entire world physics has stopped. So yeah, I'm going to go.
None of this is making any sense. I don't like being here. But no, it's cool looking. Don't get me wrong. It's very cool looking, and you should definitely see this if you haven't already.
Yeah. Let's see. Who didn't we talk about yet?
Beverly. Bev has... Well, sure, her story comes a little later on. It's after everyone meets up.
No, before... Well, she meets them originally because Henry's going to fucking carve his name into Ben.
Yeah, yeah. Henry has caught Ben by the side of the road and pulls a knife and starts carving his name into the kid's stomach. Again, Bowers is too crazy in this movie.
Oh, yeah. He manages to get an entire H, and at least in, like, the Tim Curry one, his other bullies are like, Jesus, Henry, you're not actually going to do this, are you?
Yeah.
But in this one, they're like, yeah, go for it. Fucking cut him up. Who gives a shit?
It. Yeah. It's like, whoa, come on now. That doesn't make... Plausible deniability of being a bully is relied upon leaving little visible evidence.
Oh, yeah.
You can't sign your name in someone.
Yeah, if you cut the name Henry into a kid and he's like, that dude attempted to murder me by carving his name into me, you can't be like, oh, maybe it was some other Henry.
Yeah, it's not like your parents are going to have a brief terse discussion with Henry's dad in that situation and then come away and go like, we're satisfied.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. They're going to be like, no, you carved your name in our kid.
Yeah, you're done. You're in jail forever.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't want to harp on it.
So he ends up like kicking away and going down into the Barrens, and Ben meets up with the Core Four because they're trying to find Georgie's body.
Yeah, they've gone to the entrance to the sewers in the Barrens.
Yeah, because for some reason Bill won't let go that maybe Georgie is alive, which is weird.
Yeah, it's been about a year.
Like, it has been a long time, and he thinks that he was sucked down into the sewer, and I'm like, yo, if your little brother has spent like 6 months or whatever in the sewer, he's dead.
He's dead. He's not living in... He's not a Ninja Turtle now. Although, you know, it's the late 80s. Ninja Turtles were a cultural touchstone at this point. I'm surprised we didn't get a reference to them.
I'm surprised Pennywise didn't turn into a Ninja Turtle and be like, come on down here, we all float and have radical pizza.
Choose your cool ninja weapon, bro.
What kind of Renaissance painter do you want to be?
I'm Pennywise the Tubular Clown.
Yeah, so he meets up with them and they all run away, and one of the bullies manages to get into the sewer and he gets straight like eaten by Pennywise.
I was in the bathroom for this.
Yeah, Patrick Hockstetter is from the book also basically just as crazy as Henry,
mm-hmm.
except he's more like, I'm going to molest you than he is, I'm going to physically damage you.
Okay.
But in the book, I think he gets eaten by leeches.
For Christ's sake. Yeah. Oh, it must be magic leeches, right?
It's like it's Pennywise leeches.
It's Pennywise leeches. Okay, fine.
Yeah. But in this, he finds like some of the dead kids that have gone missing, and they attack him, and then Pennywise just shows up and straight like eats his face.
Okay. Well, there he goes. I didn't see any of that because I unfortunately was in the bathroom for that very brief period.
Yeah.
Given that this movie has a consistent kill or scare about once every 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
It was a hard... I had to make a choice at some point.
Yeah. The thing with Bev is when she gets home, you see her dad, which is one of the very few adults you see in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you see him is he's a super creepy...
Well, it's clear he's been molesting her.
Yeah, he is very much abusive in probably multiple ways.
Yeah.
And also, her scare is... like blood, and it's very much a reference to like she's just gotten her period.
I was gonna say there's no way that King would let that pass by. She's 13, she and her scare is blood in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's no way that wasn't the plan. Although in this movie, at least they sidestep it by immediately turning it into a super soaker of blood.
Oh yeah, it is a Nightmare on Elm Street 1 geyser of blood.
Yes, with hair tendrils that are trying to pull her into the drain.
And the dad can't see any of the blood. We establish that adults just do not see what's going on here.
Yes, they cannot.
They cannot.
They must not.
They shan't.
They shan't not. They shan'tn't.
They shannon.
But anyway, there are a few more kids who get a few more interesting scares, and they're all very well done.
Yeah. Bill sees Georgie in the...
The flooded basement.
In the flooded basement.
With the lead pipe.
Yeah, and it turns out, like, Pennywise is great, because if you look, Pennywise is using Georgie as a puppet.
Yeah.
Like, he straight has his hand in the back of him.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting, cool scene.
Yeah, Eddie gets scared by a leper in front of the big haunted house that the whole town is scared of.
Yep, which the leper is from the book as well.
Yeah, and the leper's one of my favorite creepy effects in this.
Yeah.
He's all gross and he has no nose, but his nose is like moving in and out when he tries to breathe.
Yeah. Honestly, the leper is probably one of the better non-clown things from the book. Like, it's described really well, and they did a great job of translating it to the screen.
Yeah, no, it looks fantastic. So that was great.
So everyone but Richie at this point has seen something.
Apparently, because Richie's scare was supposed to be in the movie too, but it was stupid.
Yeah, Richie in the book gets scared by, there's a giant statue of Paul Bunyan in town, which actually exists in Bangor, Maine,
mm-hmm.
which is what he based Derry off of.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the movie, there is a giant Paul Bunyan statue, but they were like, it's kind of dumb to make a statue come to life and chase after a kid, so we're not going to do that.
You have to make it so gross to have it fit in this movie. If a giant just metal statue of Paul Bunyan came to life and started chasing a kid, it'd be like, what am I watching Jumanji right now? What is this?
Yeah, it's definitely a little more like, huh, okay, that's more in line with something like a Gremlins or a Jumanji or whatever, where it's like, oh, there's weird scenes where things are coming after kids, but it's mostly okay.
And, you know, in the spirit of Richie, I would like to let you know that my relationship with your mom's vagina is also based on Bangor, Maine.
Yes.
Thank
Good
you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty happy with that one.
Good job, Trash Mouth.
All right, so eventually all the kids are convinced that there's something scary happening and they need to start investigating, right?
Yeah, probably my favorite scene is the one in the garage.
Yeah, they all go to Bill's garage where I guess Bill's dad is like a surveyor or something.
He works for the city and so has access to a ton of like maps of the city and shit.
So in the garage, they start watching a slideshow of things that have happened in the history of the town and looking at maps of like sewer lines and junk.
Yeah, they have a like modern sewer of Derry and then a slide which is old Derry.
Yeah. And then as they go through the slideshow, all of a sudden the machine starts projecting or switching on its own, and then it turns into a movie screen, and there's old Pennywise.
Yep, and this, if you've seen the trailer, you've seen the beginning of this scene where the slides start going and like Pennywise has hair moving out his face until you can see him.
Yeah.
But it keeps going and is awesome.
Yeah, it's a great scene.
They like kick the projector over and it just sort of stops on Pennywise and still clicks a couple times until he disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And then it clicks again, and the clicks are great because it gives you that everything's dark and then everything's bright.
Yeah.
And when it clicks again, it's a like if that picture of Pennywise was life-sized. So it's a huge version of him coming out that's all like crazy wild-eyed and sharp-teethed and just chasing after them.
He's like 20 feet tall, so he's on his hands and knees in the garage, but he's completely filling the garage and he's bounding around in there like a puppy.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a really well done scene.
And the whole like slides keep going, so you get this blackout and redo of the scene means you never get to look at it too long because it's ridiculous CGI.
It would look stupid if it was ever for more on screen for more than a second.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's a CGI thing that you're like, oh, just getting flashes of this is great.
It's
but if you were to stare at it, you'd be like, eh. Well,
yeah, it's kind of like The Ring has that scene where when the door gets opened and there's the corpse in there.
Yeah.
If you ever see that on freeze frame, the corpse looks terrible.
But the getting it for like the 2 seconds that it's on screen is great.
Yeah, it's the scariest scene in a movie for like forever.
Yeah.
That one scene in The Ring. Although I actually am much more terrified by the horses killing themselves parts. That shit's messed up.
Man, you always have the weirdest shit that you're like, that's the scary thing in this. I'm like, really?
Psychological horror is more interesting to me than gore. Gore, I'm usually, I'm evaluating it based on the special effects, and so I'm just kind of like, oh, that's cool. Oh, what a neat way. Look at the rubber effects on that. That's neat. So, but psychological horror sequences, like the scary scary. Like in this movie, my favorite part's the kid who's flipping through the pictures because that stuff was like tense. Like it was extremely tense watching him kind of zoom in on it and be unable to stop looking at it as it zooms slowly in. And it was a neat move for Pennywise to be like, hey, look at this picture 100 times. This is fucked up. As opposed to, you know, turn the page again. I'm a clown. Bah! That would have been less impressive to me.
Good.
So there you go. That's why. Also, I'm scared of aliens. So
yeah, I know.
Aliens.
That's your thing.
Yeah. Horror movies about aliens always get me. I don't give a fuck about ghosts.
Nah.
If ghosts were real, I'd be like consistently trying to talk to them. I'd be like, what's up, man? What's it like being a ghost?
How's death?
How's death? Tell me all about that. Yeah, I know. Rattling chains or whatever. That's a terrible way to communicate, by the way. Straight up, let's have a cool conversation here. This is neat. But aliens, I'm like, no. So
there you go.
Yeah.
So they all get together and they're going to go into the sewers or actually into Nabolt Street, which is, it exists in the book, but they made it very central. The normally it'd be the barons that they would go to a lot to try and like get into the sewers. But this, they really wanted to centralize one place and they used Nabolt Street House, which is basically just a big haunted house looking place.
Yeah. It's a big haunted house, which is a great setting for multiple scenes in this movie.
Yeah.
Like they go in there once to scare Eddie and then again to scare the whole team and then again to scare the whole team again.
Yeah. So it's a good central place. They have that as like, oh, this is the central area where it lives is like underneath this house. So you get a good central focal point.
Yeah. I actually kind of appreciated this about it, that they were willing to kind of give it a location and a home. And one of the things about the late 80s was that the scariest thing was that weird house on your street.
Oh, yeah. It very much plays on a lot of the 80s theme. So it veers heavily into the time period.
Yeah. Yeah, so in the 50s, I could definitely see like a place out in the woods where adults don't go as a good scary location.
Well, yeah, because that was much more like 50s, you're running around as a kid by yourself just doing stuff because whatever, it's the 50s and you can do that.
In the 80s, you were expected to stay pretty much close to your house, so the scariest place you could be would be that one creepy house on the street where you know a witch lives and you heard that she was also a Nazi.
Nazi witch.
Yeah, one of them witch Nazis.
Yeah.
So yeah, oh no, your Frisbee's in there, and you heard that her dog will eat your dick.
Yes.
I didn't do it right, I'm sorry.
I know. You done goofed.
You goof.
But they have to go in there, and first it's just Eddie, Richie, and Bill go in.
Oh, yeah, because everyone wants to stay outside and watch for clues.
Yeah, they're like, let's just stay out here in case something goes wrong. But they each get their own scare room as well. Like, Eddie has another thing where he sees the leper.
One of the things about this movie that you have to accept is that you have to internally rationalize that Pennywise has a magic ability to break kids' attention. Because I'd say that one of the things that's recurring in this movie is every 4 or 5 seconds, one of them says, we have to stay together, and then turns around and wanders off. And it's just recurring. It happens, I don't know, like 30 or 40 times in this film. Just, guys, if we stay together, he can't get us. Ooh, candy!
I mean, at least there's one where it's just straight up, apparently Pennywise has the ability to teleport a kid.
Yeah, that happens.
But yeah, we get another leper scene for Eddie. We get, finally, Richie gets a bunch of clowns, and we get one of the clowns in the room is the classic Tim Curry Pennywise clown, which is nice.
That was nice to see. There were also a couple of references to other Tim Curry movies, or not Tim Curry, to other Stephen King movies buried around here and there in the book.
Yeah.
Or in the movie. Not much, but they were in there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure the cars from Christine and Cujo were in this, if you know where to look.
If you look.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, given that it's set in the 80s, now if you see a 50s car, you're like, oh, hey, look at that.
Oh, look, it's a car from Christine.
Yeah.
Every red car from the 50s is the car from Christine.
Yes.
And every broken down old brown car is the car from Cujo.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind then.
Also,
every man lying down is the guy from Misery.
Yeah, all of them.
All of them, yeah. Every lady is just the lady from Misery. Every sheriff is the sheriff from Misery.
Every movie is Misery now. Except for that beginning scene, the Georgie scene, you know.
Well, the Georgie scene in Misery was particularly interesting.
Oh, yeah, everyone loved the
James
Georgie
Caan
scene.
Yeah, James Caan busily working away on his typewriter, and he takes a phone call about how his book is super important. And then if you look out the window in the background, there's a kid getting sucked into a sewer by a clown.
Yeah.
Yeah, well known.
Well known.
Yeah, documented.
So yeah, they have to fight Pennywise there.
Yeah, and Pennywise has a lot of cool attacks in this scene where he pops out of like a big room full of clowns and zooms at them, and then he
getting out of a fridge where he's all like his limbs are all twisted and broken, and he just like crawls his way out and rearranges himself.
Or the part where he uses blood to write "not very scary," "scary," and "extremely scary" on three doors.
Yeah,
and then forces the kids to go through one of them.
And they open the "not very scary," and it's just the top half of one of the missing kids.
Yeah, that was pretty great. And she's like, "Where are my shoes?" It was a great scene.
Yeah. No, Pennywise gets real creative in his fucking with people.
Yeah, this is a good Pennywise.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I'll be honest. I like Tim Curry a whole lot, and I will never not like the Tim Curry Pennywise clown routine, but this is a great Pennywise.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got to say, basically everyone watching this who has seen the Tim Curry one is going to be trying to compare it to Tim Curry.
Don't bother.
But it's a completely different thing. Like, he is not playing the same type of character at all. It's very, very different versions of the character.
It's completely different type of sewer clown that wants to eat children.
It's a very different sewer clown.
You know, that's a broad archetype.
The sewer clown archetype is very interesting. It's complex. There's a lot of nuance.
A lot of roles. There's a lot of space in that band of, I mean, honestly, it's a huge, so many actors over the course of human history have properly portrayed the child-eating sewer clown, whether it's Alec Guinness, who first trod the boards in "Hark, a child-eating sewer clown doth approach."
Yawn sewer clown.
Yeah, and then again, later in his life, when he did "Seven Children Eating Sewer Clowns for Seven Brothers."
Thank you.
Good. And I'm done there.
Yeah, good.
It's
thank
just
you.
Alec Guinness, Tim
it's
Curry,
just Alec Guinness.
And
it.
Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah, that's it. That's all. So, yeah, we get them fighting against him, and he gets away down to the well. But he ends up breaking Eddie's arm, and he gets stabbed through the face with, like, one of those metal posts.
Yeah, it's a fence spike.
And he does a thing where he turns around real fast and slices Ben in the stomach, like as if his stomach hasn't had enough fucking shit going on.
People are really mean to Ben's stomach in this movie.
Yeah, they just keep slicing that motherfucker
up. I really
up.
Hope when they cast the adult Ben, and I know wasn't the adult Ben John Ritter in...
Yes.
So he loses the weight and becomes a handsome bachelor. I know that's an important thing for his character.
Yes.
I hope he still has an H on his stomach in the adult one.
It is 100% what I am hoping is that at some point he takes his shirt off and there is an H and then a slice on the other side.
Yeah, that's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
And also, it's a shame that we can't just use John Ritter again.
I know.
It's sad. Maybe we can use adult Meatloaf to play it.
Maybe.
He'd be way too old.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we can use an 80-year-old man
I'm really curious to see when they do the movie if they're going to do the correct, because 27 years later means all these people need to be 40-year-old actors.
Yes.
And they've already talked about having the girl who plays Bev replaced with Jessica Chastain, who is 40.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine, but I'm wondering if they can get like a bunch of good 40-year-old actors to be in the movie, because it's going to be friggin' packed, because this movie is doing unbelievable gangbusters business.
Oh yeah, they had such a small budget and are making so much money off of it.
Yeah, that everyone's going to want to be in the next one.
Yeah. And they've talked about a few. They've also talked about, like, Amy Adams as adult Beverly.
I would be okay with that. I actually kind of prefer Jessica Chastain. I feel like she looks a little closer to the original role.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, whatever. Anyway, yeah, they have a terrifying fight with Pennywise, and he stabs one of them in the gut and gets a bunch of people and takes a spike through the face, and then he jumps down a well.
And this breaks the Losers Club. They, like, end up getting to a point where they're like, "Nah, fuck you, Bill. I don't give a shit anymore. I don't want to go after this clown."
Admittedly, there's a point where everyone in the movie, even the audience, is like, "Yeah, fuck you, Bill. Stop talking about your brother. At this point, you want to avenge him. You don't want to find him."
Yeah, you keep, like, when they're fighting, they're like, "Look, Bill, fucking Georgie is dead. Give that shit up." He's like, "You take it back." I'm like, "No, Bill, you take it back. Georgie is gone.
Own it."
Just say, "Yeah, I want to fuck this clown up because he killed my brother." Don't keep going, "Oh, maybe we'll find him."
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, they break up. Eddie's mom shows up in a great scene to claim him and be like, "No, you guys don't talk to my son.
Don't talk to me or my son ever again."
Yeah, and then they do a 1 month jump, and then they just get together again and go back in the room.
Well, it's because Pennywise kidnaps Beverly.
Yes.
So because it has taken one of theirs, they have to get together and go after her.
Yeah. And then at the same time, Bowers kills his dad.
Yep.
That's a pretty neat scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Bowers is hanging out with his two friends, getting ready to shoot a cat.
And the dad is just like, "Hey,
don't
give me my fucking gun back." And then, like, shoots at the ground near him. And he's like, "Everyone take a look at the paper man when he gets afraid. Look at this little bitch. Anyway, I'm going to go inside and get drunk.
Yeah. And then Pennywise sends Bowers a present, which is a knife.
Yeah. It's the knife that he lost earlier.
Yeah. And then a TV show where Pennywise pops up and is like, hey, kill your dad. Kill your dad.
There's a background TV show throughout this whole thing where it's just, if you're listening, you can continually hear them talking about like clowns and going into sewers and things like that.
Yeah. So Bowers kills his own dad and then heads off to kill all the other kids at the local haunted house.
Has a wonderful experience where all of them are going down into the sewer, and the last one to go is Mike. And so he just gets into this fight with Mike Hanlon. And
Bowers is so crazy at this point that he tries to kill Mike Hanlon with a bolt gun.
With the bolt gun that Mike brought. He's like, I'm just going to straight up shoot you in the head with a bolt gun.
Yeah, I'm going to go all Anton Chigurh on your ass.
Yeah.
It's like, man, okay, well, I guess at this point he's killed his own dad, so he's beyond the realm of plausible deniability.
Oh, yeah. No, he's no longer a bully. He is straight up just a murderer.
Yeah, he's turned into a psycho murderer, which is good because the next thing that happens is he gets pushed down a well and dies.
Yep.
There we go. And then everyone goes wandering into the sewers where they consistently go, guys, we have to stay together. Now, excuse me, I need to wander off for 20 minutes. This scene is a little unfocused.
This is the point where he manages to fucking teleport Stan, because Stan just like looks away from the group for a second and then is all of a sudden in a different room.
Yeah. And he gets attacked by the gross painting lady who bites his face, and then they chase her off.
Yeah. And then in that scene, he's freaking out, and Bill sees Georgie, and he's like, and I'm out.
Hey, excuse me, guys. I saw my brother perfectly fine, having lived in the sewers for a year and a half.
Time to go chase after him.
Excuse me.
I'm not going to go, guys, let's go get Georgie. I'm just going to run after him without saying anything.
Yeah, he almost sneaks away. He's almost like, and sneak, sneak, sneak. No one can see me, because this is stupid. Anyway, Beverly, all on her own, is exposed to my favorite part of the whole movie that isn't the scary part.
Which is Pennywise the Dancing Clown dancing.
Which, literally, at that moment, they show a sign that says Pennywise the Dancing Clown on the side of a big pile of garbage. And I was like, you know, you never see him dance. And I was just about ready to file that away and use it in the review when the stage slams open and there he is dancing.
Yep.
And it's a fucked up, scary dance.
And also has inspired one of my favorite memes, which is Pennywise dances to anything. There's like 15 of these at this point, and it's just great.
Yeah, it's just Pennywise dancing to all kind of music. Yet, he has yet to dance to the donkey song, though, so let's get that done.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, he needs to dance to that there donkey song.
He can't kill Beverly because she's not afraid of him, but she makes her like float by showing her the deadlights. We never get the deadlights by name in this movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's a thing that shows up.
I don't know what that is.
The deadlights
is it from Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, that's it. You like, got it.
In the marshes, don't follow the lights. Is it the same thing?
It's a crossover? In those dead marshes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Beverly in the dead marshes. Beverly Marsh. It's all connected.
Yeah, see? It's all coming together.
Yeah.
Also, Stan Marsh. There's a Stan and a Marsh, and I don't know, whatever. That's the dad from South Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Right. Everything's coming together. I have no connection there. No joke. No joke,
no jokes.
People.
No jokes here, people. Just references. We're like one of those date movie or scary movie.
Yeah, one of those, like, what was the one that was about superheroes? I think it was just called Superhero Movie.
There was Epic Movie.
Epic Movie. That was the one where it was just like Iron Man shows up, but he's fat or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm Iron Man. I'm fat. A cow. And then he just flies away. Like,
hey, guys, you remember the movie 300? Here it is. Anyway, goodbye.
I'm a giant robot. I'm playing a video on my stomach. It's the Britney Spears guy.
Yeah. Oh, God. So the group manages to find Pennywise, and he's scary and whatnot, but they basically have a scene where they beat the ever-loving Christ out of him, which is amazing.
Yeah, there's one last scene with Georgie, because Georgie...
Oh, yeah, where he bolt guns Georgie in the
head. Though the gun's out of bolts.
No, he bolt guns Georgie with it, but then shot.
But the one shot had already been used to miss Mike Hanlon earlier.
He reloaded.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, he uses an actual bolt on Georgie, who then turns into Pennywise, and then he shoots again at Pennywise, but it doesn't have any
compressed air,
but it still like knocks a hole into him, which is
because the power of Pennywise's belief, and it works on him as well as he works on other people.
Yeah, it basically was doing the battery acid scene from the Tim Curry one where Eddie uses his inhaler.
God, I'd forgotten how embarrassingly shitty that scene looked.
Oh man,
it's battery acid.
Yeah. And so it was an updated version of that, which ends up being a lot better.
For the most part. Although, for the most part, all they do is just hit him with sticks and bats.
Oh, they beat the ever-loving Christ out of him. It is, like, there's a point watching it where I almost feel bad for Pennywise, because he is just getting wrecked.
That said, there's also a part where he grows giant spider arms and tries to kill Bill with them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's trying to kill everybody.
Yeah. But the scene where he grows giant spider arms, I particularly appreciated, because I was like, oh, good, there's the reference to the fact that he's a spider. And the next movie's going to have to disappointingly end when all the adults push a spider over and beat up its midsection until its heart falls out.
Yeah. Man, I cannot wait to see what they actually do with the ending of this.
I like to picture that part of the spider glowing like the weak point on a video game boss.
And probably Jeff's very favorite thing is when he goes and falls down a well at this point.
If there's a reason for me to love a movie, it's because it's got a stupid part in it. But at least in this situation, it'll be something where John can agree, that was awful stupid.
Oh, yeah. It was probably the most, like, take you out of the moment scene in this whole thing.
Yeah. So he gets beat real bad and his head cracks open and, like, evil starts flowing out of his head, like, upward, like, floating out of his head.
Yeah, because they all float.
Yeah. And he jumps in a well to run away, but he's dying. You can tell he's starting to die. And as he dies, with his hands clasped to the edge of the well and his head cracking open, he says, "Fear." And then he falls away. Why does he say fear?
I don't. It's so weird. He's just like, "Fear." And you're like, what?
Yeah, no, we get it. You're based on fear.
Yeah, okay. Were you just telling us your deal, or what's going on
That's
here?
That's like how when I die, I'm going to say hamburgers.
Oh, hamburgers.
Oh, I've been shot. I shall soon die. But before I go, I want you to know what I eat. Pizza. What the hell? It was a stupid thing to have him say.
Yeah, no, it was one of the worst lines in here. And I'm like, man, that was so unnecessary.
Fear. Factory was not a very good band.
A good day.
And now I die. Cape Fear.
So, yeah, they get out the sewer and they make a blood pact that if it ever comes back, they will come back too.
Yeah, and then they have that scene where Bill kisses Beverly and she suddenly looks all wise beyond her years.
The interesting thing also with the seven of them after they get out and they make the blood pact is they leave in the order that they actually die as adults. So Stan's the first one to leave the group, and then Eddie leaves, and then Mike leaves.
I appreciate that when Stan leaves, he just straight up goes, "I hate all of you."
Yeah, he's like, "I hate you all.
I hate this. I hate you.
I'm leaving."
Yeah. So they actually all die in the book, too. I hadn't really remembered all that much from the TV movie about who dies.
Yeah, well, Stan, I mean, this is spoilers for part two. If you don't want to know about that, then I guess skip forward. But Stan, when Mike calls everyone to bring them back to Derry, when he calls Stan, Stan's like, "Oh, okay, yeah." And then he just immediately goes and kills himself than return.
But hadn't they all forgotten what happened?
Yes, but it's when they get the phone call and he's like, "Hey, it's returned." All have this like immediate flashback of what happened. And so Stan kills himself rather than go back. Eddie gets killed by it when they go to confront him. Mike ends up being in the hospital by Bowers, actually. But probably by it in this version.
Right. So, or unless Bowers survives. We don't know. We don't see a body.
Yeah. I mean, normally it's supposed to be that Bowers actually takes the rap for all the killings that Pennywise did.
Oh, okay.
And so, because everyone's like, "Yeah, he was a fucking psycho," and then when they go, "Yeah, this guy was killing a bunch of kids," they're like, "Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, he carved his name in that one fat kid."
Yeah, that totally pans out. Yeah,
yeah, this all tracks for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there you go. That's pretty much the end of the film.
There you are. So let's go ahead and give our best and worst for Stephen King's It 2017 edition. Jeff, best thing in the movie?
Let's see. I don't know if I want to say a specific scene or a tool that they used in the movie to great effect. I'm going to say the updating of the movie to the late 80s was a relatively inspired choice.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I wouldn't have really cared about this movie if it was set in the 50s. Things set in the 50s just don't wow me all that much anymore. The late 80s setting was smart, well-realized, and a good update to the and also exactly 27 years from the TV movie.
Exactly.
So very smart choice.
Yep.
So that was cool for me.
Yeah, and you know, of course, audiences nowadays being our age are going to be like, oh, I have way more of a connection to being a kid in the 80s and understanding, like, being freaked out by things then than the 50s, which is just sort of, who cares? You may have said it, like, during ancient Rome. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, granted, I still have this issue where every time I watch a movie set in the 80s, I'm always like, this is so extreme. Did I live in, like, the mild part of the country where, like, I was never once beat up by jocks? I feel like I'm missing out.
Well, you were. You're missing out, man.
I didn't get jocks always. Well, granted, I was a jock in high school, but still, I mostly left nerds alone.
Yeah, you were the nice jock.
I was. Well, everyone in my school was the nice jock. All the nerds were also sports people at my school.
Oh, that's weird.
I know it's weird. Even our football team had like an honors grade average on average.
Huh.
It's just the way it was. But anyway, I'm going to say the 80s adaptation was smart and well realized.
Good.
So that's going to be my favorite thing. What would you say is your favorite thing about this movie?
I absolutely loved the kids in this. Just the acting from them was amazingly spot on. There was no point where I was like, man, this actor or this scene is just real bad because of one of these actors.
No, they were fine. They were like, all fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even the ones that don't get a lot to work with, basically Stan and Mike don't have a ton to work with, but they both put a lot into their scenes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I absolutely loved that. The kid actors in this are amazing.
Yeah, really good kid actors. Only one of them from Stranger Things. I wonder how hard they tried to get Eleven into this movie as Bev. But anyway, this was, yeah, both great.
Yeah, so worst thing in the movie for you.
Fear. Worst thing in the movie for you.
Oh, I don't know if I want to say that it's the fear thing, but it's the fear thing.
Just say the same way. Let's start this over again, John. Take it away.
Okay, what's your least favorite thing in the movie?
Fear. What's your least favorite thing in the movie?
Fear.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's a dumb line.
It's the worst line in a very well-written, well-acted movie.
Yeah.
And it's very jarring.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so let's go ahead and give our rating. We're each going to give it a 0 to 5, giving us a total out of 10. Jeff?
I'll give it a 4, which is a really high rating for me. I really enjoyed this movie.
Especially for a horror movie, that's very high.
Normally, I don't care for horror movies, but there's reasons I don't care for horror movies. It's not that I'm easily scared, and it's not an issue with the genre entirely. It's that most horror movies are cheap, shittily filmed, and they don't care that much about their story or the functionality of the story. They tend to be super formulaic and bad. This was none of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So all the things I usually complain about in horror movies did not make appearances here.
Great.
So yeah, I'm going to give it a 4. There were a couple of minor issues that I feel like kept it from doing better, but otherwise I think it's a fantastic movie and I recommend people see it.
There you go.
What about you?
I'm gonna give it the very first ever 5.
Oh god.
For this show. It's one of those things where I watched it, I immediately wanted to go watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch it again recently and I still want to go watch it again. It's one of the movies where I'm like, I would want to own this and watch it because it's just very well done. I mean, Jeff had mentioned there's a scare like every 4 minutes, but the great thing is it has a very like rising tension scare and then comedy kid moment and then rising tension thing. It just never lets up.
Yeah, it's a good rhythmic progression of a film.
Yeah, there's no point where you're like, man, this is boring.
No, never. You're never bored during this film. It's a well-made film.
And it's like 2 hours and 15 minutes, and there's no point where you're like, okay, get on with it.
I feel like, you know, one of the things that people will gleefully admit is that the first of the two TV movies is really good, and the second of the two TV movies is extraordinarily bad. I am very curious to see if they can fix that in this movie's sequel.
Oh, I am super excited to see what they do, because making the first movie completely focused on the kids was brilliant, because the being focused on the children, you can do a lot more with those themes than having to like flash back and forth.
Well, for some reason, the adults in the TV second movie, like some of them are really good. You've got, I'm okay with Harry Anderson and Annette O'Toole, I think, and John Ritter, but it's like they were being directed to act as bad as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Like the scene where John Ritter is giving Annette a massage, like while they're all sitting in a room, and they're like, oh, everybody sit in the least comfortable way possible, and everyone look in the random direction and look weird and disaffected. Look like you're in the Breakfast Club. There we go.
There we
are. All right, now, make that massage even less warranted. Less? No one's having a good time here. There it is.
Yeah, so when they actually get to the next one, I'll be excited. Now,
I'm curious to see if it's got a 20-minute-long Chinese restaurant scene that is pure filler.
Well, they also an entire scene of riding a bicycle that is filler.
Yeah. That Chinese restaurant scene was murderous. It's just sitting in this Chinese restaurant, and light music is playing, and nothing scary is happening, and no one's even talking.
No, it's they have montage scenes in that Tim Curry one where you're like, were you just playing for time here? Nothing's going on.
Running out of, it's like 20 minutes of watching these people eat Chinese food. What is going on?
So, there you go. And I will qualify. My five isn't to say that this is a perfect movie, but it is one that I absolutely loved and want to see a lot. That's my five.
Can I say one of my favorite things in this movie that we didn't talk about yet is that this movie has Beep Beep Richie in it for no reason?
Yes. Well, it's Beep Beep because that's a clown nose.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that how they fit it in there? Because he's barely, because they don't do any of his stand-up comedy stuff. He's just kind of a mean, funny little shit. But there's a line where Pennywise pops up and goes, Beep Beep Richie. And I'm surprised he didn't just wink to camera.
Wink.
Right? From the first one?
You guys know. Oh, man. We have been going on for a while now on this movie.
Fine. This is right where we should normally end.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to our rambling, ridiculous review of Stephen King's It. Go see it in theaters. It's super good. We got a 9 out of 10 for the rating between us.
Yeah.
And if you like what we do, you want to support us, we, of course, have our Patreon going on. You can go to patreon.com/systemmastery, and you can support us there. It helps us do stuff like paying to go see movies and expanding the shows we've got and being able to do more than we do right now. And
paying our rent.
Yeah, and paying rent and eating and staying alive.
We both used to be normal humans with jobs, but San Diego has defeated us.
I was once a man.
I used to just be a regular circus clown murdering people here in San Diego.
Your standard sewer clown.
Yeah, and then eventually I died in a huge explosion because of an extra-dimensional space monster. And look at me now, relying on donations from people like you.
And of course, we've got all of our other shows. You can check out the System Mastery reviews of RPGs.
RPGs.
The favorite of pirates. and of course, we've got our bonus content that comes with the Patreon for those reviews. If we get to a certain level, $1,000 per episode, we are going to go weekly on our Expounded Universe show.
Yeah, we're getting real close.
And if you haven't listened to it, you don't need to know anything about Star Wars. You don't need to even give a shit. In fact, it's probably better if you don't, because the Expanded Universe books for Star Wars are ridiculous. And we are going through Shadows of the Empire right now, and it is amazing how bad it is.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenally bad.
So go ahead, give that a listen if you haven't already. It's hilarious. And just thank you so much for listening, supporting us. Even if you don't give us money, we love the support you give us when you listen. You can rate it and review us. Go on iTunes or Stitcher.
That'd be helpful, yeah.
Yeah, give us a good review, and it means other people can find out about us.
Yeah, we always want more reviews. And a lot of the reviews we get are people who are mad at us for cursing.
Yeah.
So we really need to get that drowned out.
Actually give us decent reviews.
Or give us 5-star reviews for cursing, because we're good at it.
Yeah.
Fuck damn shit.
They've got great cursing.
Hell ass balls.
So until next time, though, you have a good one.